The U.S. government collects a lot of statistics. So do state governments, city governments, county governments, and on and on. The problem is, if you want to use those statistics to make a decision about some important policy, they're not all in one place. That's where former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer comes in. He's founded an organization called USA Facts to put all the numbers together in one place, and they've just released their annual report. In the latest in our series of conversations with leaders called View from the Top, Steve Ballmer joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jeremy.
But first of all, just tell us why you started USA Facts and what the mission is.
Well, I started USA Facts because I wanted to understand by the numbers, because numbers, to me, tell an accurate story. I wanted to understand what government was doing, where the money was coming from, what it was being spent on, and what kind of outcomes government was getting. And there was no consolidated view. You know, state and local and federal government probably need to be consolidated. Medicaid, for example, is distributed. So I decided it made sense to look at these holistically. And I wanted a report like corporations put out, a 10-K report to the Securities and Exchange Commission, just factual, past numbers, no future forecasts, no floweriness that describe the operation of government in its entirety, just like a corporation would have to put out. Obviously, the goal is not profit. It's positive outcomes for the citizens. And there was just no way to find such a thing. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to start this because I'm interested. And then as we went along, we had the whole, you know, alternate facts, fake news thing. Numbers are nonpartisan, and we only use government numbers, so nobody can say we're cooking the books. Mm-hmm. People can have their own opinions about what to do about them, but it really troubles me when people say things that are just not true by the numbers, or where they take a number out of context to try to dramatize a point.
Well, and according to your report, there are more than 90,000 governments in the United States. That includes state governments, territories, counties, cities, towns, school districts. Do you think it has been possible to actually put it all together in one place and have it make sense and give people some guidance about what to do?
Yeah, I do think so. There's a number of, I'll call them federal statistical agencies that collect the data and bring it together. The real problem is its currency, its recentness is not always the best. If you really want to look at things in aggregate, it's generally about 2 years old, mm-hmm. Because the consolidation of state and local spending, which the Census Bureau does statistically, is still 2 years late. So there's a set of things which could be more timely. But there's reporting frameworks from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the Treasury, the Census, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as we try to do state outcomes and local outcomes, that'll become trickier because there's no standard reporting, and the reporting in general at the state and local level is less good than the federal level.
Well, I've been looking through your new report, and it's pretty fascinating, actually, some of the details in there, things that you hear about, but you don't really think about in detail, and you don't figure out exactly what's happening. One of the things is there are a lot of people in this country who are first-generation Americans right now.
That's right. The percentage of our population that's foreign-born is between 13 and 14%, which is historically towards the top end, but it's not the highest it's been in history. The other thing I think that's interesting about that is if you look at growth in our population, which is about 2 million a year, half of it comes from immigration and half of it comes because current Americans are having more children than the number of people who are dying every mm-hmm. year. But to see part of economic growth comes from population growth, and half of that comes through immigration.
What else stands out to you in this report?
The notion that more people are living alone and more people are getting older. The older point I think a lot of people have in their head, and you can see the numbers on that in the report. That's our annual report at usafacts.org, which we publish for tax season. But the fact that more people are living single, I think, is also interesting. When people talk about, for example, household income coming down, one of the factors I don't think people put in their heads very well is if you have smaller households and more senior households, we will have lower median household income, even if wages were going up. And at least for the middle 20%, wages are not going up. But government transfers and decreases in taxes are giving more effective buying power to that middle 20%. Let's call that the middle class, if you will.
When you look at this overall and you look at things about climate change and the amount of storms and the amount of money that the U.S. is spending on storms and our education system and healthcare and all these different aspects of life in America right now, do you see it and say, uh-oh, we have some big problems ahead? Or do you say, oh, wow, what great opportunity and hope I look at when I see this report?
Well, obviously, the numbers are the numbers, and everybody can assess them differently. Let me give you an example that I find troubling. The percentage of kids who are proficient in reading at the eighth grade level is up, and some people can be heartened about that. The number is still, I think, 38%, and some people could be depressed about that. Mm-hmm. And so characterizing it as all good or all bad is a little tricky. I hope that number is much higher. Through our philanthropy, my wife and I, we would do all we can to help influence that. And yet at the end of the day, one can be optimistic about the improvements. Greenhouse gas, some people believe the science that it makes a big difference. Some people don't. But if you look at greenhouse gas emissions per person, they're down. The problem is we have more people than we have before. So, you know, it takes context to even decide really how you feel about many of these issues.
Okay, well, people can check this out at usafacts.org, you said, and we'll also link to it at hereandnow.org. Just while we have you, though, Steve Ballmer, I have to ask you just a couple of things about some of the other big things that you're involved with or have been involved with. First of all, Microsoft, what do you think is your legacy there now, looking back, because you've been gone for a little bit now?
Well, I'd probably highlight three things. Number one, we developed a great successor to me under my watch, Satya Nadella, who's doing a fantastic job. I'm not sure I could take credit, but we really did have the right guy, and we picked him. That's number one. Number two, profits in the company have risen from 20-odd billion, high 20 billions to 40 billion under Satya's watch. But there was a base of profitability that I think has been fundamental to the company's success. And we had the cloud computing thing, along with gaming and a number of the other critical innovations, up and underway, and yet the company's taken them to a whole new level. So I feel good about my legacy, Windows, the enterprise business, some of the Office, some of the things we built in the past, but also the elements of the future. And yet, you know, it's sort of a game of what do you do now? And Satya Nadella and the management team there, I think, has done an outstanding job.
As someone who was a key player in the technology that we use today, do you have second thoughts about how much we use tech? There are people who are addicted to their devices at the expense probably of, you know, personal contact with others, exercise, just general enjoyment of life.
Well, the obsession with the screen can make me nervous. I will say that. Some people will say it decreases personal contact. Some people will say, hey, look, a text is a form of personal contact, and you can reach out and touch many more people than you would. You know, social media, some of the same things. And yet when people always have their head down in their phone, their heads down on their phones, I think that's an issue. I was in a meeting the other day. I was looking up something, and the lady who was presenting said, well, that's rude. You've got your head down and you're on your phone. And I said, well, I'm actually looking up something relevant to the meeting, but it shows some of the issues we face.
Do you ever try to tear yourself away from a screen?
I do. And when I'm not doing it, my wife reminds me that I could be more social and more interactive.
Okay, one more thing. You also own the NBA team, the Los Angeles Clippers, which lost to the defending champion Golden State Warriors 4-2 in the first round of the playoffs. Your LA rivals, the Lakers, did not make the playoffs. Do you still consider the Clippers the underdog team in LA?
Well, I'd say a few things. We had a heck of a season. I wish it was still going, but, you know, made playoffs, took the defending champs to, you know, a little further than people thought. Mm-hmm. Biggest comeback in NBA playoff history. And yet in Los Angeles, the heritage and the history of support is for the Lakers. Do I love that? No, I don't love that. And it's, you know, New York and LA are funny. They're the only two cities where you have multiple teams. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a weird notion to me growing up in Detroit, living in Boston and in Seattle. You actually had to pick. I like our team. I like our positioning. You know, there's a lot of people out there in LA who are a little like our team, resilient, gritty, hardworking, and I'm proud of our team and what it accomplished. And, you know, next year, here's to being even better. And if we're doing a good job with beating all 29 teams in the league, that must mean we're doing a good job beating the Lakers too. And I get gratification out of that.
Who do you think is going to win the championship this year?
Oh, come on, man. You're just asking me to get in trouble with other owners. Unless I could answer the, you know, the answer could be Clippers. I'll remain silent on that point. Okay. But next year, baby, go Clips.
That is Steve Ballmer, owner of the Clippers, obviously there, former CEO of Microsoft and now head of USA Facts. We've got a link to the new 2019 report at hereandnow.org. Steve Ballmer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. Really appreciate it.